previously on Worlds Away. We have to get Hall. Move in.
Dr. Belova, I'm saying this in the headset.
Is this essential? Get to the point.
I need your help disarming a bomb. Is that essential enough?
So what I'm trying to do is I want to put one cuff on myself and then the other cuff on him.
I mean, I think Leela has to try to get to him and put her hand on him and suggest that he stop.
When you put the handcuff on Mara, he kind of like jerks out of the speaker mass and he's holding his slate in his other hand. And then you go and grab for the hand that's holding the slate, Leela. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I want you to go ahead and roll plus alien for suggestion.
Okay.
Oof.
That's a fail.
Oh, shit. Also, to be clear, you did this right in front of Mara?
Yep.
You had to know that as soon as it reached this point, there was no lifeline I could throw you. So, what was the grand plan? Slaughter a bunch of innocents, make you feel good about yourself for a little while, avenge your dead buddies who won't be coming back, feel real good about starting a war so more people's buddies could die?
I could have planted the bomb in there after they searched the room. They wouldn't have been able to stop that. But as much as I hate everything she stands for, I didn't want to let someone get hurt. But I think the thing that you pick up on from that, Orno, is how would he have known when they were going to search the room?
Yeah, I think we're sort of surrounded by fun wildlife and it's, you know, swimming through a glowing cloud. When we see the Lustramine, I will sigh pretty heavily.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't found many new stars since, and I think I'll just cut off.
You know, I've been wondering something this year. My toast, where did you learn that from?
My husband taught it to me after our son was born. Rivka, what do you know about Ramon Herrera?
Sorry to bother you, but have you seen Ms. Gomez by any chance? She was supposed to take over from me a bit ago, but I can't reach her on her slate.
No, not since I've been here, but that's officers for you, right? It's your sleep, not theirs.
I think after he leaves, maybe there's like a moment's pause, and then you take the slate back out from behind your back. And as you continue to scroll down, it doesn't take you long until you find a series of private messages to Elliot Hall, including one sending him a copy of Sarek's travel schedule. But as you continue to scroll through the messages, I'm going to give you one more thing that strikes you. In an additional part of the slate, you find a series of messages in a separate folder, all of which are labeled Research Branch. The message explains that suspected Terran forces are threatening ongoing efforts of the research branch, asking the recipients of the message to report any sightings immediately. And at the bottom of the message, you see an image, and that image shows what we've called the ghost ship, as it's just starting to disappear.
Oh, shit.
All right, gang, we ready to do this? Everyone good to start?
Mm-hmm.
Ready as I'll ever be.
All right, getting pumped up here as I knock my mic out of my face.
Oh, I thought that was an orangutan.
Yeah, it was.
Wasn't my best work, but all right.
I love you.
I'm leaving in.
Welcome to World's Way, an actual play storytelling podcast. I'm your game master, John Ossip, and here with me today, we've got Haley Daria.
Hello.
Lauren Woolbanks.
Hello.
I'm so stern today. Michael Morales.
Howdy.
And Mo Shatara.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
You already did that one. You already did that one.
Happy International Women's Day.
All right.
No. Yes.
Thank you.
No.
Thank you.
No. No.
All right. We got it. We did it. So we ended the last episode with a bit of a cliffhanger, and that was with Arno finding a slate hidden inside the office that was being used by Reeve Kasarek's protective detail. On that slate, which based on the call records appears to have belonged to Emma Gomez, who's the head of the detail, you found two big things, Arno. So first, you found a message sending Sarek's travel schedule to Elliot Hall, the man who you detained at the festival and who planted the bomb in Sarek's hotel room. And then second, you found a message asking for members of Aventine's research branch to report any sightings of what we've called the ghost ship. And so with all of that said, my question to you, Arno, is what do you do now?
So, the first thing I want to do is make a backup, if at all possible, using the same. I imagine that the tool that I used to break into the slate at this point probably is helpful for just like either backing up the information in that slate. And that's what I'd like to do, is just create a copy of it.
Yeah, sure.
And then I'd like to, I'm going to leave with the slate.
Okay, you're taking it with you also in addition to
that? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, and then are you telling anything to the rest of the party, or where are you headed with the slate once you leave Sarek's house?
I'm going to head to the hotel room to meet with the party. I am going to share that information, but I am wary of sort of like communicating over like, I don't even know if they're open channels, but I am worried about like being listened in on.
Okay. So you just kind of tell everyone to meet you back there is the idea?
Yeah. I'll go ahead and send it out a quick message. Meet at the room, 10 minutes.
Okay. So I think at this point, and I know we kind of cut away in the middle of your scene, Nasir, with Sarek out in the water, but I think you've gotten back. I don't think we see the rest of that scene, but I think you've gotten back and you know, sort of changing out of your wetsuit or your kind of dive wear when you got the message. So do you all head back to the hotel room straight away? Or do you do anything else before that?
I head right back to the hotel.
I am already there.
Oh, okay. So let's take that scene. So what does it look like, Arno, when sort of you get to the hotel room, if Leela's already there, if people are kind of walking at the same time?
Yeah, so I'm going to... Actually, where is everybody else right now in the room? Are you all seated?
I think we're just milling about. Yeah, like I don't think anyone's doing anything specific.
Is this like a nicer room that might have a dining table?
Oh, yeah. There's tables and shit.
Yeah, we definitely described this as like a suite. So
yeah,
this is a hey, big spender, so...
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm going to set up at the table. I'm going to pull out the slate that I've taken over here, and I'm going to gesture at it. This slate belongs to Emma Gomez, and it's currently logged into the account that was used to coordinate with Elliot Hall. I have reason to believe that she's been the one feeding him information about Reeve Kasarek's locations.
Leela's eyebrows are all the way up.
So I think that Mara is going to pull out her slate because, you know, last time she had copied over the information from Elliot Hall's slate that was sent to him, Reeve Kasarek's itinerary. So I think she'll just like, you know, like kind of compare. And if that message is on there, then that's kind of a smoking gun, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I think that from what you see on his slate, everything matches exactly to what was on the slate that Arno recovered from the sort of office at Reeve Kasarek's house.
Do we know where Emma Gomez is right now?
We don't. Her security detail are looking for her, but we don't know where she is. I think that Ms. Sark is in danger and that we are possibly the only ones that can protect her now. And I think Arno, as he says that, has this like bitter look in his face, like he just ate something unpleasant. Is he saying that?
I think Leela will say, is there any evidence of the other members of the security team being involved?
Not that I can see.
There's no way to be sure, though.
No, it's probably best to assume that we can't trust them with this information either.
Well, we've got ourselves in quite a pickle.
How are we going to convince Reeve Kasarik that her trusted chief of security is attempting to threaten or harm her, and we, the emissaries of the Republic, are actually her protectors?
Well, when you say it like that, it sounds like exactly the kind of thing I would say to keep her from giving her speech. And so maybe the message doesn't come from us. I don't think that the security detail here on Eos wants to be responsible for the death of such a high-profile diplomat. Maybe we just leak the information to them.
That would be an effective strategy if we believed that Rivko would then choose not to give her speech. Something I think is unlikely. She's going to speak regardless of who tells her it's a bad idea, even if it came from her security detail directly.
Even if she did, I want to be sensitive to the fact that we would be accused of not doing our due diligence if we didn't warn the security detail here. So even if she does speak, it'll make it a lot easier for us if something goes wrong and we're unable to protect her.
A very good point. Should we notify Sarek at the same time we notify the security officials?
Do you think she would believe us?
No, but I think it may be to our benefit to bring her into the fold. I can speak to Rivka.
So we cover our asses by informing law enforcement here on Eos, but how do we know we can trust them?
We don't, but at some point we have to make a decision. It's either all on us or it's not, and this gives us a likelier chance to defend ourselves should things go south.
What are we telling them? Are we giving them all of the information, or are we saying we have reason to suspect that there is a mole within the security detail and Emma Gomez is missing?
I think we give them all the information and say that Emma Gomez is missing.
I see no reason to obfuscate. If anything, it'll make us look more suspicious.
I agree.
And then I think Leela will pull out her slate and email or send a message to Jocelyn Fisk asking her to meet us.
I'm going to just make some copies of the information over here on the slates, and just like that way we can assume that like when Nasir talks to Reeve Kasarik, like he's showing her the messages or something like that. And when we're talking to Jocelyn, like she has copies of the messages as well. But I'm holding on to the slate myself, the original, but the copies okay. Are going around.
Got it.
I think that Mara will just say, I'm sure the other individuals in Sark's security detail are looking for Emma Gomez. I will go rendezvous with them and see if I can lend any of my services. We should have an eye out for her in case she is planning something drastic.
So just get this straight. So Nasir and Mara, you two are going to Rivka Sarek's house to sort of either talk to Sarek or talk to the security detail?
Yeah, I think that's the move.
Okay. And then Leela, are you going with Arno, or are you meeting with Arno with Jocelyn Fisk? Or yep. Are you going with Nasir?
Okay. That sounds good.
All right, so I think let's do Nasir and Mara first then. So I think you arrive at the house that Sarek's using as her sort of temporary consulate, and after being waved through the front door, you two make your way downstairs back to the sitting room where you first met Reeve Kasarik, which is the one with the giant window that sort of looks out into the ocean underwater. But instead of anyone sitting on the couches there, I think you find Sarek sort of huddling with Michael Bradley and Summer Gallagher, who are the two junior members of the protective detail, and they're sort of quietly speaking toward the side of the room. But as you walk in, Sarg notices you entering and sort of gestures up with her head so that the other two notice you as well. And then she kind of like shifts her position to sort of invite you into the conversation. And she says, Nasir, Mara, I'm sorry to say that we have some troubling news. We've been trying to find Emma for several hours now, but none of us can reach her on her slate. I'm not sure what kind of person would do this to threaten me or to somehow stop the speech, but I'm quite worried that someone has gotten to her or that she might be in danger.
Siku, we have reason to believe that Emma Gomez's slate was used in communication with the gentleman who threatened your life. And we also were coming here to notify you that we've been unable to find her or make contact. And I will bloop her both the stuff from Elliot Hall's slate and the stuff that has been like from Emma Gomez's slate. Lieutenant Hines is in the process of notifying security here on Eos. I'm so sorry, Rivka, but it looks like there might be a compromise in your security detail, whether intentionally or otherwise. And I think I will name that, like, I don't think that it's necessarily that she's betrayed her, right? But, like, yeah. She's compromised.
Mm. Okay. So I think when you say that, Michael Bradley just kind of has an incredulous look on his face. And Summer Gallagher says, Seeker, this is impossible. Are you really going to believe them? And then I think she kind of like holds up her hand. Rivka Sark holds up her hand and says, Summer, I appreciate the concern, but I do think at this point we should consider all possibilities. I'm hoping that we find Emma and all of this turns out to be a grave misunderstanding. And then she kind of turns her focus back to you and says, I'm sure the two of you understand that even with this news that the speech must go on as scheduled, but I was hoping that you have at least some leads that could help point to where we could find her, or at least some idea on what to do in response to this news.
Hmm. I think that Mara will kind of step forward and say, have we tried tracing her communication device? Kind of remembering the earpieces that we all described before we went into the rave.
Hmm.
If she doesn't have her slate on her and also doesn't have anything else that will send out a signal, it'll be very, very difficult to track her.
I think Michael Bradley kind of takes that one and says, the range on the earpieces is relatively limited, but if we know her general location, that could be a good idea, Doctor. We'll get to work on that.
I do hope she's okay. I'll say to the room, like not just to Sark. The last thing she said to us, John, was that like the speech has to go on.
Yeah, that was part of it, at least. Yeah.
It is our full intention, Rivka, that we will protect you and keep you safe, regardless of whatever you choose to do. Dr. Belova and I are here to pursue any leads that you might have or collect any information that might be helpful. Lieutenant Hines and Miss Malik are working with AOS security to follow all possible leads.
I think Mara's actually, she's going to kind of maybe narrow her eyes a little bit and look at the collection of people here and ask, so who among you saw Emma Gomez last?
So I think Summer Gallagher kind of looks around, but then says, I saw her in the office after we returned from the festival grounds. And then she kind of looks around the rest of the room and says, my understanding is that no one saw her after that, and that when Michael was waiting to be relieved, she didn't show.
Mm. Did she indicate that she was going anywhere or truly up and disappeared?
Just to get some sleep. But where she went after that, I don't know.
Mm.
So I think Ruth Kasarik says, I know that this is concerning, but I'm confident that you'll keep us safe, and I'm confident that we'll find Emma.
I think Mara's going to kind of nod solemnly.
Mm. Okay. At this point, I want to cut to Leela and Arno talking to Jocelyn Fisk. And where are you two meeting with her? Is this at the hotel or is this somewhere else?
I think we'd be meeting at her office.
Okay. So at the US security office. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we kind of see, did you like give her a copy of the sort of messages from the slate?
Yeah. In fact, I think I would have sent them over before we met just so that we like she was caught up by the time we met with her.
Yeah. I think we kind of cut in and maybe she is like looking down at the slate and kind of like scrolling through it. And it maybe has been ever since you sent that to her. And I think she says, and no one knows where she is.
We haven't received any word.
What do you think she's doing now?
If my main contact was captured alive and cooperating with the authorities like Elliot Hall was, I'd be running.
Mm. That seems most likely to me as well. I know that we're all concerned about the speech and the seeker, but it's worth considering that, at least if we believe what Hall said, that everything they tried to do so far was just to stop the speech from happening, and that Ms. Sarek's life was never actually at risk. Do we have any reason to believe that's changed?
We don't know if there were other people involved, even if Emma Gomez has decided to take her leave. There may be other accomplices who have not been apprehended yet.
That or they put a plan into motion that didn't require them to be there. We should be prepared nonetheless.
I think she says, most of my people have their hands full managing the crowd, cleaning up scrapes from people, slipping on the festival steps. But is there anything else you'd have us do to respond to this news?
I'm sure there was a protocol in place for escorting the speaker from her lodgings to the festival grounds. Is that correct?
So far, she insisted on her own detail and, well, the four of you providing that.
You had to know how she was getting there.
We had the schedule. So far, all of her movements have been by foot.
Is it possible to use a backup plan to transport her for now?
Below the walkways, there are service tunnels normally closed off during the festival. I can make an exception. We can take her through there.
Okay.
Seems like we have our hands full, but and she kind of holds up the slate. We'll keep our eyes open for Ms. Gomez.
We'll be in communication if we hear anything.
Thank you.
So at this point, we cut away, and I think we get a kind of montage of shots cutting between the festival grounds and also the four of you along with Michael Bradley and Summer Gallagher leading Reeve Kasarik through these kind of tunnels under the streets of these kind of metal boardwalks I've described, the walkways of Eos. And so I want to like turn over to you, like what does it look like, or how is the group kind of arranged as you're moving through this kind of walkway, or what does that scene look like just visually?
Oh, I think this is actually more like the Disney tunnels in that it's all actually very well lit, and it looks like any other hallway in a building, except that like it's underground and there are no windows more than anything else. So like white tile, white walls, lights coming from the ceiling, that sort of thing.
Okay. And how are you all, how is everyone kind of arranged with this? Or like who's in the front of the group?
I'm in the front.
All right. So Arno, you're in the front then. So as you all are moving down this tunnel, what's everyone else doing? Or is anyone having any kind of conversation? What does that look like for the rest of you?
I think as we're like heading down the tunnel, I will start to lag behind a little bit and like a way where like I've clearly got something on my mind. I think probably like Leela clocks that. Like, and you know, how Leela responds
how
to that.
How dare you assume what my character... No, yeah, I think she would totally clock that.
I don't know what you do, but I do think you clock that, like, I'm falling behind a little bit.
I think Leela will slow her pace and match Nasir.
Okay.
So I think as she gets close, she will just say, got something on your mind? She said kind of ironically, because obviously, yes.
I spent most of yesterday with Rivka, and the way she talked reminded me a lot of the way you spoke on Feronia about owning your own decisions. And pardon my arrogance, but when we spoke on Feronia, I just assumed that you had 15 years fewer regrets holding you back than I did. Reeve Kasarik has several decades of actions and consequences on me, and she speaks the same way you do.
Are you trying to say that you're wrong and I'm right?
I'm trying to say that your confidence that you're right is something I greatly admire, Leela. And there's like not a drop of irony in that, right? Like I'm being so sincere. I am the reason my family stayed on Aventine when the war started. And I have been very, very willing since that day to leave the big choices to the people who I think are better suited to them than I am. But if I have a chance to hurt the war effort, to slow the march of war, and no one else can do it, do you think I should make that choice?
Ugh, I'm so torn, because on one hand, Leela could be very sincere here, because Nasir has just kind of opened up and talked about his dead family, which he doesn't often do. But at the same time, I think Leela's going to go the ironic route, not only because that's in her nature, but also because I think that will be effective with Nasir.
He's a playful person.
Yeah. I think she's going to say, so you're considering trusting yourself, but you're asking me to make the decision for you. Nasir, I'm not going to fall into that trap. This one, it's all you. And I think Leela's going to pat his back and speed back up.
I think as she's about to walk away, or as she's walking away, I just sort of shake my head. She would have made a wonderful politician.
So what I want to know is kind of one more thing from this hallway walking scene. Leela, you had kind of fallen back to go talk to Nasir and had that conversation, or kind of walking forward. Mara, I want to know kind of what we see on your face when this happens. And sort of the reason I'm asking that is just because last episode you had kind of a firsthand encounter with sort of Leela's powers and what might mean. And so I just want to know kind of like, as the focus changes from Leela kind of going back to talk to Nasir, what do we see on Mara's face?
I think it's not more than like a side eye, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she like, I think that, again, this is kind of there's a bigger mission at hand here,
yeah,
right? Is dealing with this potential like rundown of like the climax of this violent threat. And so I don't think her main focus is on anything other than the mission right now.
So just like a second of side eye, and then you kind of go back to...
Yeah, exactly. But then back at like the thing at hand.
Hey there, it's Mike. Thank you so much for listening to Worlds Away. It's been an absolute blast making the show and inspiring so much future fan fiction. If you're enjoying Worlds Away so far, you can help us out by spreading the word to friends, family, and coworkers you corner at the water cooler. We're relying entirely on word of mouth to advertise, so this is the number one way to help support the show. And if you've already talked about us to everyone you know and want another way to support us, you can also rate and review us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other platform you use to listen to podcasts. You can also give us a shout out on social media on most platforms at Worlds Away Pod or at our website, worldsawaypod.com. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the episode.
So at this point, I think you all arrive at the festival grounds.
And can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
What is everyone wearing?
Yeah, okay. I like that.
My uniform.
Okay. A classic.
I mean, I just wanted to get that out of the way. I think we all expect it.
I'm glad you answered first.
I feel like if we were to go into Arno's closet or whatever, he's like a cartoon character and he just has like 10 copies of the same uniform.
And then it's like one Hawaiian shirt.
What about that is cartoonish? I don't understand.
Okay.
I think that this time Mara is just wearing something a little more practical. And just probably like pants, shoes that can she can move in, and then like an unrestraining top situation. I think that she was probably a little traumatized by trying to run through a crowd in a waterfall of a dress. So I don't think she's going to commit to that again. And she is heavily makeuped the black eye away.
I think I'm in a flowy tunic, like that's like very like lines of the body, right? Like it doesn't really stick out much. It's probably like a dark blue because it matches the Minerva Project jacket, which I'm wearing over the top, and like matching pants. But I think what I have in my hand, or like on my belt, is what looks structurally like a fan, except instead of like a piece of fabric between the sticks, there's like a long flowy piece of fabric from each of them. And it is the shredded remains of the flowy rainbow dress that I got for Arno for like our first day at the festival. And I think the thing that you all would probably clock right away is that it looks exact or it looks very reminiscent, not exactly because it was me doing this, of the jellyfish creatures from Feronia. With like long rainbow tendrils.
Ooh.
What about Leela?
So I think Leela is dressed a little bit different than we would normally see her. Usually she's pretty utilitarian with her outfits. But I think right now she has got kind of some skin tight black leather shiny looking top with sleeves and pants, but then over that she's got like a tunic top and a scarf and kind of like a very light duster that's very flowy, so it still looks like she is dressed for the occasion, but she definitely looks different. And the reason for that is that she I think is going to be a little bit undercover for this, so in addition to wearing all of that, I think she's also carrying with her a pair of futuristic DJ headphones and maybe a soundboard because she is amazing. Going to be a DJ.
Awesome. So I think I'll add in, and maybe this is where we kind of see the like the door from this hallway open up and kind of looking at the festival grounds themselves. And on the stage, I think we see a group performing Kumi Daiko, which is a sort of ensemble of taiko or Japanese drums. And I think that you're kind of exiting these passageways, maybe sort of not quite behind the stage, but sort of if we're looking at the stage, sort of back right to where you can kind of make your way backstage and into the sort of like green room and prep area without too much attention. And I think as the doors open, we kind of see Reeve Kasarek's attire for this last day at the festival for her speech. I think the one piece that's kind of common to what we saw on the first night is she still has that kind of shawl or scarf that had that sort of effect of almost seeming lighter than air. But instead of it being on top of her shoulders and almost sort of hovering, instead it's kind of wrapped around spirally up her body. And what she's wearing under that is almost like half dress, half jacket. It has a bunch of buttons and kind of a very actually similar straight collar to the fleet uniform, Arno, in some ways, but sort of without any of the medals or other regalia. The color of this is very, very dark blue, almost black, but it is studded with little dots that shine an almost silver or white light. And it looks like a star field. And when combined with the wispy shawl around her, it almost looks like a sort of nebula. But now I want to know what the four of you are doing in the sort of build up to the festival. And I think this is the time to sort of do your preparations. So it's like, what are you all doing to kind of prepare for the speech, to try to find Emma Gomez or any other sort of risks to Reeve Kasarek, or to sort of make sure that this goes off without a hitch? And so I kind of want to know what everyone's plans are, and then maybe we'll do some rolling either now or sort of when the speech gets kicked off.
So I think Leela is going to very quickly dart away from the group so she's not spotted with Sarek. And when we were here previously, we saw that there were several DJs in kind of or on some of those higher platforms where there would be a better view. So I think Leela has kind of scoped one out that is supposed to be empty that she can kind of set herself up at. And I think one more thing that she has on, or maybe that she pulls out as she gets set up, is a visor. So I know Lauren has her really cool like glove scanner. I have also had a scanner in my inventory this whole time. I've just never used it. But I think it's not going to be like the glove at all. I think it's going to be the visor. And I think it is maybe made for being able to scan and like do like facial recognition, or, you know, your dystopian AI future where you can like immediately see everyone's faces. But it's something that will help her kind of keep an eye on the crowd.
Okay, I like it. What about Arno?
So I'm going to be posted outside of the green room watching for suspicious activity. And before I get into the hallway, or before I get to the green room, I'm going to send the drone out for one last sweep to get some last minute information.
Okay.
And I'll be like operating that remotely while I'm outside of her room, just watching to see who's coming and going, if anyone's lingering, that sort of thing.
Okay, got it. And I might not have you roll yet, but just to clarify, when you're sending out the drones, like what parts of this environment are you looking at? Is it the crowd, the kind of like surrounding buildings? Like what's the areas that Arno is focused on? Just so I kind of understand what this looks like.
I think I'm still just focused on the other buildings.
Okay.
The crowd can and will change over the course of the event, I'm sure. But something that requires a little more setup, like areas where you might need to get access to a roof to prepare or something like that. I'm looking for those places where like you need to be there ahead of time if you want to do anything. So I'm looking at the roof. I'm looking like, I guess, above the stage, that sort of thing. Let's check to see if there are any more bombs in the same places they were previously. Mm. But those are the two areas of focus for me.
Okay. So I think we see the drone kind of like flitting around the festival grounds, but maybe paying a special attention to the sort of perimeter and the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then Mara, what about you?
Yeah, I think if Leela is kind of got her facial recognition stuff up, if Arno is scanning the perimeter and in the buildings and stuff like that, I think Mara is probably like physically in the trenches with her scanner looking for anything out of the ordinary. So we've now encountered the similar bomb twice in a row. I think she's got a good idea of exactly what she's looking for and can really process the electronics and all the wires and machinery to identify if there's another threat down there.
Okay. And also, you know, we did have the earpiece idea too. So maybe you're kind of scanning for that too.
Yeah, exactly. The earpiece. Yeah. I also want to be trying to pick up on that if it comes into range or anything like that.
Yeah. Maybe it's like Michael Bradley kind of gave you the codes for that or the frequency and you're kind of scanning everything. Okay. I might have you again hold off on rolling that, but I just want to kind of get the visual. It's like, oh, what are we visually seeing? And then we're going to do the rolls to kind of see what we find or don't find. So, okay. I like it. What about you, Nasir?
I think I'm probably in the green room with Reeve Kasarek. I'm with wherever Reeve Kasarek is, I'm with her for like the whole prep, right?
Okay.
To like stave off Republic sympathizers who might be like a part of the plot, right? Who like are angry at the existence of Reeve Kasarek. And also just to like be our person who's right there. like okay. glad handing and smiling and very plain clothes.
So I think you're in the green room then, Nasir, and maybe we see Reeve Kasara kind of pacing back and forth a little bit. But before I get into the conversation, maybe I'll turn it over to you and ask, what do we think the inside of the green room looks like?
I mean, I think it's filled with food, right? Like, I think there's like almost a buffet table. I think there's like there's a bunch of drinks of like everything that you could want, sparkly and still. it's pretty standard in that way. This was probably like a meeting room that is essentially being utilized as a green room. So I think there's like a bunch of tables pushed to the side that are being used as buffet tables. I think generally speaking, it looks like a conference room.
So I think Reeve Kasarik's kind of noticeably not touching the spread. And maybe she's kind of looking down at her sleigh and kind of has a furrowed brow, but then puts it away and just kind of exhales deeply. And she turns to you and says, "I'm not sure if you'd believe me, but I always get last minute jitters before these things. It's just something about knowing there's a crowd makes me imagine they're going to be disappointed."
"I know the feeling a lot better than you think. Rivka, you're going to do wonderfully. They're all here to see you. And frankly, you could tell them that you hate all of them, and they would still probably give you a roaring standing ovation."
"Sheeple."
Maybe she's, yeah.
"I'm not accusing them of being sheeple, I'm accusing them of loving her."
"Yeah, no, I think she says, perhaps that's what I'm worried about the most. You know, ever since the first night of the festival, I had some suspicions that Emma was responsible in some way for the bomb threat. Instead of trying to capture Hall, she tried to shift everyone toward pulling me away from the festival. Useful to make a show, but not as helpful for revealing the truth. I know you're all very concerned, but if I had to guess, she probably fled after you captured Hall to avoid anything leading back to her."
"Why wouldn't she want your speech to happen?"
She kind of pauses for a second and then says, "As I said, Emma's always been a believer in our cause." And then she kind of looks to you actually without continuing to answer your question. And she says, "Out on the water, you had said that back on Aventine, you had read my book and you had debated independence. But despite all of that, I don't think there's a more prominent icon for the Republic or for unity anywhere in this galaxy. What is it that you really believe, Nasir?"
"I'll smile. My husband and I started debating independence on the night I fell in love with him. We said it was an argument that would last light years and lifetimes. But I have always been a believer in the Republic, in the idea that a united humanity can accomplish anything. I hope that this is an argument you and I can have for light years and lifetimes. May I ask you a question?"
She just nods.
"How many new settlements has humanity made since the armistice?" And that's also Mo asking John that question.
"Yeah. I mean, I know what I think, and this is John speaking. I know what I think the answer is, but Mo, what do you think the answer is?"
"I think it's none."
"Yeah, I think it's none too. I think if there is a sort of a chair or a couch, she sits down for the first time and then looks at you and says, "You and I both know the answer to that question, Nasir."
"Rivka, you dream of a humanity where everyone is free to make their own choices. I believe in a united humanity. I have always believed in the Republic and the things that we can do when we work together. Continuing our great projects, advancing step by step. and neither of those dreams is served by war. I do not believe that the greatest pioneers of our species, who threw themselves across the stars on nothing more than a dream, chose to stop dreaming. I believe that choice was taken from them. Let's work together to push back against those who would take their choices away, who would push us closer to war. I don't know what you're going to say, but I have a favor to ask. At the end of your speech, assuming we've done our jobs and you're still alive.
She kind of laughs.
Invite me up.
So before I say what she says next, can you remind me what the die on your hand looks like? Like which fingers it's on?
So it is on the left hand, on my pinky and ring finger.
Okay.
It goes from fingertip to wrist and like through my palm. So it's like the whole, like two fifths of my hand.
Okay. I think she kind of sits back in the chair, but then like after a few seconds, a kind of smile creeps onto her face and she kind of leans forward again. And I think it's the same kind of eagerness that you've seen. And I think when she was debating philosophy with you back at the room in the house. And she says, if you want to share the stage with me, I want you to promise me something first, Nasir. But when she says that, she holds up those fingers, which aren't themselves dyed, but she kind of clearly holds them out as if to symbolize a vow. I want you to promise me that no matter what happens out there, that you'll let me finish my speech. And that you'll keep anyone else from preventing that either, including the other three members of your crew.
I promise. And I'll hold up my two fingers, like a Boy Scout style.
She kind of exhales and says, I've been waiting some time to give this speech. And since even before I've arrived on Eos, it seems that everything has been designed to prevent that. If the four of you were the ones who stopped me under the guise of my safety, well then, whoever's behind this would have won. But at this point, I think there's a knock at the door, and then Summer Gallagher pokes her head into the room, and she says, Seeker, it's time. And as Sarek stands up and adjusts her jacket, she turns to you, Nasir, and she says, good luck with your speech, Nasir. So back on the stage, we hear the Tychos play a final unified hit, which is punctuated by a collective shout from the performers. The crowd applauds as they bow and leave the stage. But after a few moments, a silence spreads through the square as a short woman with medium tan skin and wavy black hair steps out into the lights and walks forward toward a podium. And as Reeve Kostarek walks onto the stage, I think I want to start with you, Lauren, and I want to go ahead and do that scope it out roll.
All right.
Which I think you can do with advantage because you have the scanner.
Yes. Oh, well, knew it was going to happen eventually. That would be a 5.
Oh wait, shit.
I need one more dice. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it's a 1 and a 2 and a plus 2, so.
Oh my God.
And a 1. So
that's still
a 5.
We're doing so good.
Those are so low.
I feel like Mara just exploded.
Holy shit.
No, you only explode when you succeed.
That's true. All right. Well, I took XP. And I'm awaiting my punishment.
So I think we had mentioned that you were kind of looking for the earpiece, right? And maybe a few other, like, what else were you looking for? Can I just get a general vibe of like what you were scanning for here?
I was imagining Mara kind of in the underbelly of the stage and going through and scanning the kind of labyrinth of interconnected wires and electrical boxes or things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think you're kind of scanning through all the frequencies, and I guess, like, can I get, like, visually speaking, what does Mara see? Like, what are we seeing as you kind of sweep through the frequencies? What does that look like?
You mean, like, as a readout on...
Yeah. Like, do you see, device? Like, kind of, like, anything visually? Or, like, what is it? Just what's the experience for you as you're kind of using the scanner?
I think, like, I've referenced before, I think it does have an interface with our slates, but I do think I've described before that Mara has kind of a high-tech Apple glass, apparatus.
Pineapple glass.
So yeah. I think it's... Like, maybe on one side, you see a bunch of, like, shorthands for different things, like scanning of chemicals in the air, frequencies that are being, like, bumped around. So you kind of have to know a bit of, like, the language to understand what's being said there. But I think she's rapidly, like, eye tracking, like, any bumps or blips that are out of the average get kind of maybe expanded and added to a little bit of focus.
Okay. So I think you're kind of, like, going through these frequencies and... There's a lot of static, right? There's like so many slates here, right? There's just so much interference. But I think you kind of get a blip, and that is on the frequency that the earpiece would have operated on. And I think it's taking you a little bit of time, and you're kind of maybe adjusting the sliders, and you get an indication that, I mean, getting a precise location is difficult, but it seems like it is out in the crowd of the festival and actually near one of the speaker pylons that I kind of where you had found or Elliot Hall messing with back during the first night of the festival. And I think it's one of the ones that is closest to where Leela is set up in the kind of DJ booth.
Oh, of course.
So it's maybe like, you know, I'd say like 40 feet away from her location right now. So what does Mara do with that information?
I think I'll radio that into Leela and just be like, be on the lookout. There's something hot in your area.
Okay. And you kind of said the location of where this is.
Yeah,
all right. Okay. Leela, what do you do in response to that?
So, I mean, I think Leela has been... She has her DJ equipment set up and kind of looking like she's just lazily spinning tracks, as it were, but has really had her visor down and has been kind of scanning the crowd. But when Mara sends that specific location, I think she zooms in and tries to see what's going on.
Okay. I think that, and just to kind of enforce the role a little bit here, I think that you're trying to zoom in and see, but I think that the crowd is moving so quickly that it's very difficult for you to make out faces or anyone else by the speaker pylon. I think you're getting, and I think you said you were kind of doing facial recognition. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I think you're like seeing, it's like, oh, there's a lot of like bad angles. And I think you're seeing some faces line up and then it's like comes up with like a red box and is like, not Emma Gomez, right? Mm-hmm. Like, but it's like she kind of indicated that the signal was coming from near there. And I think you're kind of, you know, maybe it's like you're seeing that that is the source of the signal is somewhere by that speaker pylon.
Is this during, like, is Sara currently speaking?
She's just about to start. I think she's walking up to the podium as this is happening.
Okay. Then I think there's not really anyone else who can jump in right now. So I think Leela is going to kind of hop down from the platform that she's on and start pushing her way through the crowd towards where the signal is.
Okay. And as Sara kind of reaches the podium, where do we see Nasir and Arno?
I think then I'm hanging near, I am close to Sara, close enough to react, I guess is sort of the thing. I wouldn't say that I'm like right on her, but I might be like a couple of yards away either to like intercept someone that's coming out of the way or like to react to something. Close enough to react if I need to get close to her, close far enough away that I can like jump somewhere else if needed, I guess is sort of.
I see. So are you like standing on the stage or are you off the stage? Like in the wings, I mean.
I'm definitely on the stage.
Okay, interesting. So, okay. So you're maybe like in the background in the kind of Secret Service position, like sort of mm-hmm. behind her, but close enough to jump forward if you needed to. Is that correct? Yeah,
that's
okay. Right. And maybe you have the earpiece in and are still kind of, you know, I don't know if you have like a little eyepiece also, but whatever you're, you know, are able to still kind of monitor the drones. I think you mentioned you had something on your wrist, right?
Yeah, the earpiece and the eyepiece are the same thing. This is a Dragon Ball Z style scouter.
okay. Perfect.
Wow.
Rest in peace, Akira Toriyama.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
No, it's not, but you know, it's definitely an earpiece. And I'm definitely looking at my wrist to see like what's going on with the drone.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. We're going to come back to that in a second. What about you, Nasir?
I mean, I think I am standing in the wings. I think that I have got eyes on, is there anyone in the rafters, right? Like, is there anyone backstage? Is there anyone in the green room? Like, I'm watching the non-crowd facing points of entry.
Okay. Got it. So I think at this point, Sarek reaches the podium. And I think maybe we're kind of intercutting between this to Leela, you kind of pushing your way through the crowd a bit to try to get to this speaker pylon. And so Sarek places the slate down in front of her and kind of takes in a deep breath, and then she begins to speak. Everyone here knows that I've spent my entire life working towards independence. Because I believe that someone light years away, in a world where all challenge has been stripped away, should never have the last word on how we live. Do not misunderstand. I mourn the blood that was shed in the war. I even mourn the blood of those from Earth who traveled across the stars to stop us. But even so, I was proud. Proud to fight for our vision of Aventine, for what we believed in. And as Leela is kind of pushing her way toward the pylon, I actually want to ask, how do we think the crowd reacts, if at all, to this beginning part of the speech? Or like, what's the vibe in the crowd?
I feel like there's a little bit of awe.
I would say reverence.
Okay. So I think what's happening is like everyone is rapt focused on the stage, and then you're kind of like pushing your way through them because they're not noticing that you're moving, even Leela.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that you reach the pylon, and I think you see that kind of dangling on one of the wires that's connected to the speaker is the earpiece that would have matched what Emma Gomez was using.
I think as soon as Leela sees that, she just says into her earpiece, "It's a decoy. She's not here."
Uh-oh.
SpaghettiOs.
Yeah. So at this point, Mike, I want you to go ahead and roll to use your drone.
Okay.
And I think that's plus calculating.
Okay.
And then that will determine kind of how many hold you get and how you're going to be able to use the drone throughout this encounter.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
No. Oh, no, well, we're paying for the fact that we were rolling hot last episode.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a 3. Shit, okay.
Literally the lowest possible.
Well, okay, wait, hold on. I just leveled.
Okay, all right, let's see what advance you take.
Maybe a plus to whatever that was.
That was already plus.
Oof.
You already put a plus into calculating.
I can't anymore.
Oh no. Those snake eyes, man, too. Jesus. There can't be 3 bad rolls in a row, right?
Here's over.
Okay. I think I'm gonna need this right now, so I'm going to take Stoic Wall. In the description, when you stand defiant to defend another from violence or harm, discharge this move and roll plus stalwart on 10 plus hold 3 on 79 hold 2. While you stand in defense of them, you can spend hold 1 for one of the following. And it's got a couple of options over here.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's a cool move. Okay, that's a good move to pick now. Yeah, go ahead and mark that. Wow. Okay. Here's what I think happened. Did we describe any of the sort of, did we say that people had like balloons or stuff like that at the festival on the first day?
Yes. Well, they had flowy things. So I think if they have balloons, they're like droopy, silky balloons, right? Like they yeah. like have things flowing from them.
Okay. I think that's right. And what I think happens is, I don't know, maybe you're like looking through the, like sort of looking at the drone display. And after Leela says it's a decoy, I think your attention kind of shifts to the perimeter of the festival grounds again. And I think you're kind of sweeping over the buildings. But then I think the screen kind of distorts and it almost looks like there's something kind of translucent covering the lens. And all of the instrument readings, like the altitude and everything, start going haywire and plummeting. And I think you kind of look past the headset to see the drone snared in one of those balloons that has floated up from the festival grounds, and it crashes into the ground, sort of on the perimeter of the festival site, and the screen goes static and blank.
And that's when we learn those drones were manufactured by Boeing.
Oof.
Topical.
This is no brands were meant to be harmed in the making of this podcast.
Except for Boeing.
Okay. So I think your drone is out of commission. I think you're not going to have access to the drones until the end of the arc.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right.
Should have taken that sword.
So what I want to know is then, what's Leela doing now that you found the decoy?
Okay. So this is definitely concerning because it means that Emma Gomez or somebody planted this earpiece here and then left. So I think Leela's going to just try to look around, and I think Leela's just looking for, is anyone giving off weird vibes? Because it's clearly someone stood here, put this earpiece, walked away. Like, did anyone around here maybe look like they noticed something? Or is anyone still lingering here who doesn't seem like they are focused on the speech or acting in that sort of odd way that the crowd is?
Oh, interesting. So you're trying to get like actually like the vibe of the crowd is what you're trying to get. Is that correct?
Yeah. And kind of, I mean, I don't know if I have a move. It just seems like something I should be able to.
Yeah. No, I mean, it might just be scope it out. I just didn't know if you had a sort of Leela specific move for this.
I mean, I have my good old handy background. When I try to pierce lies, confusion, or a mystery and see the wisdom beyond, I have advantage.
Okay. I actually think that could apply here. So I think you can go ahead and roll. And you have the scanner also. So I think maybe between those two things, you definitely get advantage.
Okay.
So go ahead and roll scope it out with advantage.
Okay. This is my worst modifier.
And I'm just going to say, like, I don't have a segmented clock for this, but I'll put it this way. There's like a few steps that have already passed in terms of what the position of where Emma Gomez is going to be when you find the answer to this. So,
okay. Here goes nothing.
Okay. That's a big number.
So that would be a 6 plus a 5 minus 1. So 10.
A 10.
Woo!
Okay. Full success. So, okay. So on a full success for Scope It Out, you can ask 3 questions from the list. And those questions are, where's my best escape route, way in or way past? What should I be on the lookout for? What's my enemy's true position? Who or what here is not what they seem? Who's really in control here? How could I best end this quickly? Or who or what here could be a useful opportunity?
Okay. I think I would like, what's my enemy's true position? What should I be on the lookout for? And how could I best end this quickly?
So I think what you see, or I guess let me ask this, what does it look like as you're kind of like taking in the vibes of the crowd? And I'm almost like imagining this as being what you're going to get out of this is a description of like a pattern of movement that's going to show some kind of like disturbance or what's going on with the crowd. But just what does it kind of feel like or look like from Leela's perspective as you're kind of taking this all in?
So I think with the previous things that were going on before the speech started, people were milling around and maybe sort of facing the stage, but it wasn't super concentrated. I think now that Reef Gesarik is speaking and people are like, the crowd has quieted down, there's not a lot of chatter, everyone seems to be paying attention. And I think it has started to kind of gently close in and move closer and closer to the stage.
Okay. So what I think that you get is, you know that somebody who had the earpiece, whether that's Emma Gomez or someone else, had to be at that pylon to put it there. And they had to go somewhere else if they were going to sort of leave that area where you were going to look for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you're kind of taking in the crowd, like first the sort of local area and then kind of sweeping broader and broader out. And I think that you see a trail of people kind of filling in to fill a gap.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems like someone had recently kind of cut through the crowd, almost like water flowing in to kind of maximize their attention to the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something that would have caused the movement. And you see this at the edge of the festival grounds, the edge of the square. And kind of looking past that, you see people kind of moving out of the way. And it looks like someone had made a beeline into one of the buildings at the edge of the festival grounds. And that building, as you look up, is a hotel that's called the Concord.
Okay.
So for what you should be on the lookout for, I think we just kind of see you looking up at the building, and many of the rooms in that building are perfectly positioned to give a eye line to the stage. And I think in terms of how you could best end this quickly, I think the answer to that is you're going to have to go to that hotel, or someone's going to have to go to that hotel and find her.
Okay.
Back on the stage, Reeve Kasarek is continuing the speech, and she says, "The planets of the Verge are at a crossroads, being pulled to one side or another, pieces traded back and forth on some chessboard. The four members of the Minerva Project," and she kind of looks back to you, Arno, because you're on the stage with her, "here today as my honored guests, are living symbols of this reality." And as she's saying this, the shot changes. And I think the shot is it's a very close-up shot, so it's hard to see the surroundings of what's happening. Other than that, we see a window. And I think what we see is some kind of futuristic device. It almost looks like a cylinder being held up to the glass, and it's sort of making a noise. And then after a few seconds, a hand holding it pulls it away from the glass. And we see a 3-inch in diameter hole in this glass that appears to be in some kind of window. And then back on the stage, Reeve Kasarik continues and says, "But just as the Republic stands in the way of true self-determination, so too does a Verge in continuous revolution, one where a different planet takes Earth's place as our new ruling power." And at this point, I want to know, Leela, what you do or what you're doing and what you tell the rest of the team.
Okay. So I think the immediate first thing I do is radio to the group. "It's the hotel. She's in the hotel. She's going to take a shot." I think, so you said it's one of the windows. How far up is that window?
I don't think that you saw that shot that, okay, I described about the hole in the in the glass. I don't think you saw that. That was just, I think, what we cut away to. Okay. I think you see that it's quite tall. I think there are probably 16 floors in this hotel.
Okay.
And maybe like the top 10 of those would have, 8 or 10 of those would have an angle on the stage. That's a pretty favorable angle.
Okay. And we don't have the drones. So I guess Leela will radio, "I don't have a good angle down here. Can anyone see?" I don't know. I guess before I say that, like,
can we see?
Yeah.
Can any of us? So she says it's the hotel. And she tells us which hotel. We look over to the hotel based on her signal.
Yeah.
Do we, like, I mean, it's 16 floors, right? Scanning it, do we see anything?
I mean, if you're on the stage or by the stage, right? You're right. like hundreds and hundreds of feet from this hotel.
Right.
What are you doing to look at the hotel? Are you just like trying to look with your eyes? I think it's a pretty far distance. That might be tough. What are you doing to look to try to, what are you looking for?
I feel like I am sort of using like the Google Glass that I've described before as like binoculars. Okay. And like looking, like just scanning windows, right? Like to see what I can find, like anything, any sign of like people against the window, lights on, any weird behavior, like a sniper muzzle pointing out of a window.
Nothing really specific, right? Like just like random things that people might assume might be there. Normal day.
Okay.
So you're doing that. Does Nasir also have a scanner? Is that what the Google Glass is?
I think it's just binoculars. I don't think I'm using a scanner. I'm just like looking through binoculars.
He's not really rolling. He's not getting binoculars. Advantage. Yeah.
No, I mean, I think I'm going to have you roll for that if that's what you're doing. But I want to get what everybody else is doing at the same time. You're not going to get advantage for having the Google Glass, you know, because it's not a scanner.
Of course. Do we have an earpiece to Reef Kasarik is my actual question. The way you, like we would if it was a production, right? Like production earpiece, right?
Yeah. I think that if you did, she would have taken it out right before she started speaking, actually.
Yeah, fair.
Classic her.
Yeah, that just seems like what she would have done.
She doesn't have the Taylor Swift headset with the metronome.
Yeah. I mean, but here's what I want to understand. So Nasir, if you're on the stage looking, right, what's everyone else doing? You've been told it's the hotel, and I want to kind of know, is anyone else going to the hotel, or is anyone else trying to look for anything or do any kind of like checking to try to figure out what the threat is or sort of stop it? But just what's everyone else doing since this is all happening simultaneously?
I think that Mara will, I think that she is still, she's just hung out in, again, like under the stage area. And so I think she'll just say, if anyone can give me a window or a coordinate, I might have a way of inhibiting the shot. So alone under there, Mara can't do anything. But if someone can get me that, if we can get like eyes on a window, I'm going to try to make a move.
Okay. Can I ask, like, what do you have to do that? Or
so I have plans within plans.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Fuck. Okay, that's really good.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, Leela, are you trying to make your way to the hotel right now?
Well, I guess maybe I'm trying to think, like, what's the most expedient way? Because I'm not going to be able to check every single room or anything.
Yeah.
And how far is the hotel from me?
I think it's, like, 200 feet to the edge of the plaza.
Okay.
150 feet to the edge of the plaza.
So.
And then maybe like past the street there. You know what I mean? It's on the other side.
So I think like one thing I could do is run to the front desk and just like show them a picture of Emma Gomez and be like,
yeah,
show me where she is.
Yeah, you could definitely do that. And what about Arno?
So I want to word this really carefully. I am prepared to be on the stage, not just to react to the threat of Emma Gomez, but to react to like any other news that you all might find out from something else. Like that's one possible thing to react to. There might be other possible things to react to. And I think that being a sitting duck on the stage is the most useful place I can be at the moment. And I don't want to tip her off to the fact that like we might have exposed her location by going anywhere else. So I am laser focused on Reef Kasarik at the moment, or just like not what she's saying, just like her person being there and sort of ready to react to something if I need to.
Got it. Okay. So we'll come back to that, I think, if and when that becomes relevant. So Nasir, you're looking at the windows though. I think I want you to go ahead and roll now. Oof.
That's a five. I fail.
Jesus.
Oh,
okay.
No. We can't fail three. Oh.
Okay. Here's what happens. Go ahead, mark XP.
I level up.
Okay. What advance do you want to take?
That's such a good question. I am going to take Posse Comitatus. You can roll Crowd Pleaser, which is my signature move, to persuade a small group to accompany you in a potentially risky situation.
Okay, so go ahead and mark that. And I think what happens is, so you're standing in the wing of the stage, right? Kind of looking out. I think you hear movement sort of behind you. And when you turn, you see, almost out of breath, Michael Bradley running up toward you and toward the stage. And he says, "We have to get her out of there." And sort of goes to move past you onto the stage. What do you do?
I stick my arm out and I stop him physically and say, "I'll move her off the stage. We don't want to notify anyone that anything suspicious is happening, or we may accelerate their plans. You make sure that your people are searching every room of the Concord."
So the thing is, you did fail this role.
Right. I think the consequence is that I've had to lie to this man, right? Like, that I'm in the I don't think that I'm going to get away from this scotch-free.
And I think that that means I'm going to need you to roll manipulate also right now.
Got it.
And I think the kind of, like, if this were Blades in the Dark, your position would be desperate. 9.
Oh, thank goodness.
No. Ooh. Plus 2. 11.
Oh, 11. Ooh. Okay. Good, good. Okay.
We're either failing or full successing.
Yeah, yeah. That's good.
Where's the mixed
success? Now's
successes?
The time for full success.
On both ends of that fucking bell curve, baby.
Okay. So here's what I think happens. I think you say that, and I think he kind of struggles against your arm for a second, but then takes in what you're saying and realizes that you're probably right. And he kind of takes a step back from you and says, "Then go," and kind of like almost pushes you out toward the stage, and he takes off running. What does Nasir do?
I think I move onto the stage and I like take 2 steps so it's like clear I'm on the stage. I have my hands behind my back. I also move towards the back of the stage where Arno is. Mm-hmm. Right, to make so like,
so you're sort of both on either side. Yeah.
If there's a way to inconspicuously move onto the stage, I am doing it, but obviously there isn't because she's mid-speech. So like it's a little awkward. And if it disrupts Sarek, I will give her a smile and just stick 2 fingers like my will stick the 2 fingers of my hand up.
And I think that she just I like that, because I think that when you stepped out, she kind of gave you like the briefest look, like she noticed you doing that, and maybe she sees you doing that and continues. But okay, you did fail though, and I think like what we see is we cut back to that kind of hole that was cut into the glass, and we do see like a barrel of a rifle lined up with the hole, and kind of like the bolt is rocketed back on that rifle.
Oh no.
My stress levels are so fucking high, John.
Yeah.
Why are you about to assassinate someone?
Yeah, John.
I blame John. You failed a lot of roles.
I blame John.
This man loves violence. He loves violence against women. Just putting it out there.
on possibly International Women's Day.
Yeah, on perhaps International Women's Day.
Guys, well, we already said it's St. Patrick's Day.
All right.
Happy Ramadan.
All right. It is.
St. Patrick's Day is during Ramadan this year.
All right, so while this is happening, I think, Leela, you are out of breath, but you get to the front desk of the hotel. And I think there's a woman there in her maybe late 40s wearing a kind of like scarlet jacket that seems to be the hotel uniform. And she looks up at you. What do you do?
I mean, I think I have to intimidate. I don't have time for anything else. So I'm going to run in. Do we have Minerva Project badges?
I mean, we were invited to this planet to be some sort of general investigator / security force. I would be kind of surprised if we weren't given like
some sort of credential.
Credential, right?
I also think, for what it's worth, I think that we're universally recognizable at this point. Yeah. Right. Like we literally had random teenagers who are like apolitical come and ask for Arno's autograph. Like, I think that the average person of The Verge actually would recognize any of our faces.
Yeah. I mean, a working class hero like me is just so hard to stay incognito in public.
Yeah. I don't think it's like everybody would recognize you, but I do think it's like maybe like most people. And certainly if you were like reminded them who you were, you know, they might recognize you.
Yeah, I feel like the bright blue hair is a bit of a...
Yeah.
That's totally fair as well.
Giveaway. Yeah,
you're one of the more iconic members of the Minerva Project.
There's like a Tumblr blog and it's just people posting pictures of Leela's blue hair.
Yes.
I have fans. Okay.
It's not creepy at all. It's very normal.
Okay.
Hair is the feet of the future. Stop.
No. No, Lauren, why?
Because.
Oh, dear. Okay. All right. So I have some sort of credential. I have the bright blue hair. I'm going to run up to the front desk person and, still catching my breath, just wheeze out, Minerva Project business. And I flash my credential. And then I'll then flash a picture of Emma Gomez and her details and say, I need to know if this person has entered the building and where she could be now.
So I think I'm going to give like one more. I'm not going to like let you roll right away for this, because I think the thing with intimidate is it's when you use threats to bully someone into doing what you want. Right. Okay. And so I think she's kind of taken aback when you get to the desk. And I think she says, I'm sorry, ma'am. We can't give out that information.
Reeve Kasarik is about to be assassinated. If you don't help me, you'll be helping them.
Okay. I think that's enough to go ahead and roll. And do you have any kind of playbook thing that helps with this?
I mean, I sure hope so.
It's funny.
Let's see. I don't really think I can suggest right now.
I think that's a different move.
Yeah.
I think if you wanted to use suggestion, I think you could, but that's a different move.
Yeah, I don't think that makes sense right now.
I don't think you have anything.
Yeah, I don't think I do.
Let the dice decide.
No, but this is a... Oh.
Well, there might be... I mean, but didn't... What about your background?
Piercing, lies, confusion or mystery. I have advantage.
Yeah, I don't know if that really fits this as much as it did the other roll, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just go ahead and roll intimidate.
All right.
Thank the
Fuck
Lord.
Fuck yeah.
Okay. Oh, shit. That's okay, good. 10. Woof. She pays herself.
Yeah.
She is so intimidated.
Yeah. Okay. She's a little turned on.
It's the blue hair.
She's actually going to make a post about the blue hair on her.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I've been in her presence. It's intoxicating. She yelled at me. Yeah.
It's like the in Mean Girls. One time Regina George punched me in the face. It was awesome.
Cool, cool, cool. Just can't fail any more roles or Reeve Kasarik dies.
So I think she kind of looks up at you and her eyes go wide when you say that. And then she looks down, types at her kind of, I think there's like kind of like a vertical monitor on the desk and maybe like a flat slate that also has a screen on it. Mm-hmm. And she kind of taps on that. And I think what it actually is, to kind of characterize the world a little bit, is it's like you can see straight through the glass at her. Mm-hmm. But, and maybe this is true of like all slates, but like when she looks through it, she sees the images on the slate. So there's mm-hmm. kind of just like a clear pane of glass in front of her. That's the screen. But she like taps in front of her and she says, she's in room 1408. You can take the stairs to the right. And she kind of like slides a slate across the desk to you. That might be like the key card to the room or give you access.
Okay. At the sound of stairs, I think Leela's been, you know, keeping up with her drills, but 14 flights of stairs that's rough. So I think before she takes another step, she's going to, well, first she'll nod to the receptionist she just intimidated and then speak into the earpiece and say, Mara, she's in room 1408. I don't know if I'll get there in time. And I think she's still kind of like catching her breath, but is getting ready to run up the stairs.
Okay. We see Leela running up the stairs. And I think Reeve Kasarik's continuing the speech. And she says, a truly independent verge means one where the people of each world have the right to decide for themselves. But as she continues, at this point, I want to know, Mara, you have the room number. Leela, we see you, maybe you're like, you get to the 14th floor and you push the door open and you're running down the hallway and you see like the room numbers ticking down and it's like 14, 12, 10, and you're kind of running down the hallway. Mara, what do you do? Or what has Mara done?
Yes. So I'm going to use my move plans within plans. When you describe how you took time beforehand to make a contingency plan for a drastic situation you find yourself in, roll plus calculating. On a 10 plus, choose one. You have something stashed on your person or nearby to help you out. You have an ally waiting in the wings to come through just when you need it. Or you have a trap set and wait for the perfect moment.
Okay.
So what I want to do is utilize the light system, and I want to essentially drown out any line of sight that this person has. So oh. I want to go, I'm under the stage, I want to go to the, like, the light control system, turn everything on full blast, and point it towards the hotel. All of okay. the lights. So essentially, whatever, again, line of sight or visual that this individual had, it's completely gone at this point. The stage will just look like a bright light. And then, again, all of the overhead lighting that is above the crowd or anything along those lines, I want to control that as much as possible, point that towards the hotel, and try to drown out the shot.
Okay. So I think go ahead and roll plus calculating.
Oh, yes.
And we're going to see what happens.
Oh, my gosh.
And I will just say this is the roll.
I just said that after.
No pressure. All the pressure.
Okay, okay.
Nine.
A nine.
Okay, yes. Next. All right, so to be clear, on a 7 to 9, I choose one, but my preparations aren't perfect, so I have disadvantage going forward.
Okay.
So I kind of describe what I'd like to do. I'll take disadvantage going forward.
Okay.
So how successful was I?
Okay. So I think what happens is, Leela, you get to the door of room 1408 and you like put the slate to the door lock and you hear it like the click of a hotel room door opening. As that's happening, we hear Reef Kasarik say, "And while I hope they don't choose this, if a world decides to..." And she is cut off as like all of the lights in the entire plaza go, I don't want to say sunlight bright, but it is like everyone has to look away. I think there's like a gasp from the crowd. And I'm just going to say this. She was about to take the shot, but I think that this caused a pause for like a second as we see the door open to the hotel room and Emma Gomez is laying on a desk propped up to the window and looking through the sight of a rifle out the window, she kind of squints and covers her eyes at the light. And that is what you see Leela standing in the doorway. So at this point, I want to know, what does Arno and Nasir do on the stage? And then I want to know what Leela does in the hotel room. And I'm going to decide based on that what order to have everything happen in.
I'm going to run towards Rivka. I would like to use Stoic Wall.
Okay.
And the objective here is just to like get her to the ground and use myself as a shield. I don't really know where the text can come from, but the idea is like I'm assuming it's coming outward, and I'm just gonna try to cover her with my body at that point and just get her down. That's it.
Okay. I think like in terms of the move, I think we'll see like what happens in the hotel room to determine if you're going to need to roll for that or what that looks like. But you're trying to tackle her, and that's the idea. Nasir, what are you doing when you see Arno sort of start bounding towards Sarek?
I'm going to run to the mic with the intention of addressing the crowd after he tackles, like assuming he's going to take her down.
Okay, so you're also running towards Sarek.
Towards
is the
Sarek.
Idea.
Yes.
Okay, Leela, what do you do?
I think as Leela was running up, her mind was blank, and the only thing in her mind was just run, go fast. And so as she like pulls the door open, I think she has a millisecond of surprise at, oh, I did the thing. What do I do now? And then she reaches and grabs her pistol and is going to point it at Emma Gomez and say, it's over.
Okay. I think this is also intimidate then.
Fair.
Because what you're doing is making it clear what you're going to, what you want them to do, which is to stop and not shoot Sarek, and what you're going to do to them if they don't, which is shoot her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think go ahead and roll plus volatile.
Okay. Let's see what happens.
Uva.
No, no. It's a five.
We're so good today. I'm so happy.
Listen, I did what I did the needful.
You guys did great. Some of us, myself included, are not doing so hot.
Okay.
Oh, I think.
What are the consequences?
I think I level up.
Ooh. I'm happy for you.
Okay, what advance do you take?
I'm just going to take a stat increase to.
And I think we know what the consequence of the fail is, Mo.
Everyone goes home happy.
That's true. You got it, Lauren.
Yeah.
I don't know what the consequence of the fail is.
I think it will be to volatile.
Okay, so you're taking a plus one to volatile.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think she looks back at you and then looks back down the sight and pulls the trigger.